It's
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. Ann Ball will tell us about the huge wildfires that are burning in the western state of California, destroying homes and tens of thousands of hectares of forests. Pete Musto will tell us how Brazil is welcoming refugees from Syria and other places. Katie Weaver will report on a new study that shows we can improve our health and lose weight if we stop drinking just one sugary drink every day. Bruce Alpert will tell us about an American state where every bill proposed in the legislature is voted on. It doesn't matter what the bill is about, it gets a vote. And on Everyday Grammar, Pete Musto is back to tell us about onomatopoeia, or words that express sounds like woof. So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. So let's get started.
This week, a fast-moving fire forced American officials to urge more than 82,000 people to leave their homes in an area north of San Bernardino, California. But it now appears many of them are choosing to stay where they are. The fire has spread across an area stretching about 80 kilometers. Because of the fire and smoke, officials closed roads, including part of the one that connects the Los Angeles area with Las Vegas, Nevada. That highway later reopened. Hundreds of people are working to contain the fire. The job is even more difficult because of the hot, windy, and dry weather. Wildfires are common in the western United States during the warm summer months. In northern and central California, wildfires have destroyed more than 260 structures. The fires have forced more than 1,000 people to flee from their homes. 4 years of drought, little or no rainfall, has helped fires spread in Northern California. There are 6 major fires still burning in California and others burning throughout the West. In Los Angeles, many homes are just a short drive from wilderness areas. The drought conditions make the dry plants and grasses catch fire quickly. But officials say they are ready to fight the seasonal fires with newly leased aircraft. These include helicopters known as Super Scoopers, which are able to collect water supplies without landing. VOA spoke with fire officials and pilots near the aircraft. Richard Lee Cohn is with the Los Angeles County Fire Department.
Rivers, lakes, they can scoop up the water and be ready to go and fight fire continuously without having to ground unless they have to refuel.
The huge helicopter carries 10,000 liters of water, but it takes skill to fly it through fire areas. Natalie Jones knows this. As a pilot, it is her job to fly the helicopter and help put out fires.
We're in an environment that's inherently dangerous to begin with, so making sure that you can see other aircraft in the flight path and the area around you, and making sure you have good communications, safety first with everything, and making sure that we're not dropping water on anything that's going to harm anybody below us.
She and other pilots wait to be called into action in Los Angeles. They talk about the issues around keeping themselves, firefighters, and their equipment ready for the fires they know will come. Paul Gottwig is with the Los Angeles County Fire Department.
It's very difficult, given the amount of pilots that you have, to continue 24-hour operations. Rotate those pilots through rest periods, rotate them back onto the fire is one of the biggest challenges. Also, another big challenge for helicopters and all the airplanes is maintenance, keeping the aircraft flying continuously.
In Northern and Central California, officials say the fire season could continue until November. But in the southern part of the state, the season could last even longer because of the current drought. I'm Ann Ball.
Fleeing places such as Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan is not easy because few countries will accept refugees. Several of the countries that do welcome refugees are in South America. Over the past 5 years, Brazil has been the place where refugees arrive and stay, or at least live temporarily before they are sent to Europe or the United States. Ahmed Hamada is one of those refugees. 7 days a week, he sells Arab food in the Botafogo neighborhood of Rio de Janeiro. Here in Brazil, no person helps you, gives you money, gives you a house, he said. You must work. No work, you cannot eat here. Hamada is a Palestinian who grew up in Syria and Lebanon. He decided to flee the conflicts in the Middle East 11 months ago. He wanted to go to Europe and believed he could get there by going first to Brazil. Before Europe began to accept large numbers of refugees, Brazil was one of the few countries that would give Syrians and Palestinians a visa. Since 2013, thousands of refugees have entered Brazil. Many of them hope to be sent to Europe. Hamada was one of them. But he says immigration officers attacked him in Rome and returned him to Brazil. He says he woke up on a plane, guarded by 4 Italian police officers. He said his hands and legs were in chains. Refugees who arrive in Rio de Janeiro are often sent to the São João Church. It is led by Father Alex Coelho Sampaio. Father Sampaio operates the House of Support for Refugees in buildings behind the church. He says Brazil has, for many years, accepted those who are being persecuted or are fleeing conflict. Brazil, for many years, has had an open-door policy, and that was true after the Second World War, for example, he said. And at the moment, in particular, regarding Syrian refugees, we are receiving quite a lot. Father Sampaio says at one time he was caring for so many Syrians that the refugees had to sleep on mattresses on the floor. With his help, some have gone to Europe and others have remained in Brazil. He now cares for 35 refugees. Three are Syrians. They include Ahmad Boror from Damascus. I would love to go to Europe, Britain, a country that is democratic, Baror said. Everybody is equal. No discrimination between black, white, stranger, or native. They respect everybody. For now, he is happy to stay in Brazil. He says he earns enough money to buy food. And he says he has friends. But he says someday he hopes to visit his sister in Denmark. I'm Pete Musto.
A new study shows that replacing one sugary drink a day with water can help a person lose weight and improve their health. Kaya J. Duffy helped to write a report on the study. She says no matter how many sugar-sweetened beverages someone drinks, replacing even just one serving can be of benefit. Duffy is a specialist on human nutrition, foods, and exercise. She teaches at the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Virginia Tech University in Blacksburg. Medical experts believe sugary drinks are partly to blame for the obesity epidemic in some areas. The drinks have also been linked to type 2 diabetes and heart disease. The U.S. government's 2015 Dietary Guidelines for Americans says no more than 10% of a person's daily calories should come from sugary drinks. Duffy says just replacing one 236 milliliter sugary drink with the same amount of water would help people reach that target. We found that among American adults who drink one serving of sugar-sweetened beverages per day, replacing that drink with water lowered the percent of calories coming from drinks from 17 to 11, she said. Even those who consumed more sugary drinks per day could still benefit from water replacement, dropping the amount of calories coming from beverages to less than 25% of their daily caloric intake, she said. The report was published in the journal Nutrients. I'm Katie Weaver.
It took just 2 weeks for lawmaker Howard Anderson Jr. to get a vote on his bill. Anderson serves in the North Dakota State Senate. His bill would help people seeking medical help for a drug overdose avoid arrest. In most legislatures across the United States, including the U.S. Congress, it is a big deal to get a vote on a bill. But in North Dakota, every bill proposed is guaranteed a vote. Anderson's bill was one of over 900 introduced in the last North Dakota legislative session. All bills that were not withdrawn got votes, and over half were passed and signed into law, including Anderson's. "I think it's a good thing," said North Dakota House Majority Leader Al Carlson. "We are a citizens' legislature. We don't get paid a lot of money. We go into session for 80 days every 2 years, and if you introduce a bill, you are going to get a hearing and a vote. That is a big difference from other legislatures. In the U.S. Congress, for example, only 5% of the 11,000 bills proposed during the current term got a vote. Only 2% passed and were signed into law by President Barack Obama. There are no such long odds facing sponsors of bills in North Dakota, a state just south of the Canadian border. Anderson said his bill makes sure people are not afraid to call for emergency help after a drug overdose for fear of getting arrested. The senator said he hopes his bill would save lives. Carlson and Anderson are members of the Republican Party, the majority party in North Dakota. But the state's Democratic Party lawmakers also like the guarantee of every bill getting a vote. North Dakota Senate Minority Leader Max Schneider, a Democrat, said that in most legislatures, it is easy for a committee chair to kill a bill. But with the requirement that every bill get a vote, Schneider said, Democratic proposals can pass, even in mostly Republican North Dakota. As examples, he points to Democratic bills to help college students. The legislature passed measures to help students change terms on their student loans and to set limits on student fees at state colleges. His opinion? It is one thing for a committee chair to kill a popular bill with few looking, but another for lawmakers to vote against a popular bill when the vote is made in public. But surely some really crazy bills must get votes, right? Schneider said he can't think of many. It might be because members know whatever they propose will get a vote, and few lawmakers want to defend a bill other members consider strange, he said. He told VOA the only example he could think of was a bill that required people to keep their car headlights on while driving both during the daytime and at night. This made sense to one of our members, but the majority voted it down, Schneider said. Dana Michael Harsell teaches political science at the University of North Dakota. He said the every bill gets a vote rule follows a long tradition of citizen democracy in North Dakota. It is more than just the vote guarantee, which is unique among the 50 states. Many North Dakota state legislators leave their home telephone or cell phone numbers on the state's website. As popular as it is in North Dakota, Harsell said, the requirement that all bills get a vote probably would not work in larger states. For example, New York has a population of 19.8 million, 26 times larger than that of North Dakota's 756,927. New York state lawmakers consider about 12,000 bills in a legislative session, about 13 times as much as North Dakota, according to FiscalNote.com. I don't know how it would work elsewhere, said Senate Majority Leader Rich Wardner of his state's vote guarantee. I just know that it works in North Dakota. But Wardner said even North Dakota has rules. For example, to get a vote, a bill must be proposed during the first part of the 80-day legislative term. There are exceptions, but no matter the party of the sponsor, there has to be a pretty good reason to allow a bill to be considered past the deadline, he said. I'm Bruce Alpert.
The world is full of different sounds. Some sounds are pleasing to hear, like a bird's voice. Other sounds hurt your ears, like a loud machine. But how do we explain in words what a sound is? For example, how do you describe the sound a dog makes? Also, does everyone hear that sound the same way? Every language in the world has words that express sounds. These are called onomatopoetic words. When a person says an onomatopoetic word, the sound of the word copies the natural sound the word is identifying. Let's say you walk past an angry dog. What sound does the dog make? Woof, woof. Woof. When a native English speaker says the word woof, the pronunciation is somewhat similar to the sound the dog makes, but a native Russian speaker would not agree. They would say dogs make the sound gaf, gaf. A native Korean speaker would say mung, mung. These sounds are expressed differently in different languages because every language uses sound in different ways. The noises animals make are not the only examples of onomatopoetic words. Imagine you are walking down a street on a rainy day. A car drives by very fast. Zoom. As the car passes you, it drives through some water. Splash. You close the front of your jacket to protect yourself. Zip. These words are all nouns that express the sound effect you are hearing. Some sounds even define the objects that make them. Do you remember closing your jacket to protect yourself? The zipper is the object that connects the front parts of a jacket by joining the sets of metal teeth along the edges. In comic books, we often see these sound effects written in the pictures. These words help the reader imagine sounds in the story. Onomatopoetic words are not only nouns, though. Imagine you are in a quiet restaurant. Suddenly, the people next to you start to have an argument.
I can't believe you lied to me.
Shh! We are in public.
Don't shush me!
When you tell someone, shh, you are saying the situation requires quiet. In the conversation you just heard, Anna responds to Jonathan by saying, don't shh me. In this case, Anna is using shh as a verb. She means to say, don't tell me to be quiet. Another example is one you probably hear every day. When you use a computer, you choose objects on the screen using a device called a mouse. Click. But the action of choosing an object on a computer screen using a mouse is called clicking. Now think back to the car passing you very quickly in the rain. What was the sound it made? Zoom. But you can also say, the car zoomed by me. This means the car drove by you at a very high speed. Sometimes, onomatopoetic words are even used as adjectives. If you see something explode, you will often see the word boom used to describe the sound. This is because the sound of an explosion is low and deep, the way English speakers pronounce the word boom. Now listen to the actor James Earl Jones.
Look, I can't tell you the secret of life, and I don't have any answers for you. I don't give interviews, and I'm no longer a public figure. I just want to be left alone.
His voice sounds low and deep. You could say his voice is booming. Onomatopoetic words are not often used in formal language, but they are very common in everyday speech, and there are hundreds of examples. They make languages more creative. Writers and musicians have used these types of words for many years to find a connection with the natural world. Just listen to the music group Ilvis as they make an entire song about onomatopoeia.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes croak. And the elephant goes toot, ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
I'm Pete Musto.
Well, that's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you, and has helped you learn everyday American English. We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. Or send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find captioned videos and lessons to test your American English skills. Please know that however you reach us, we do read every message you send. You can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from The Voice of America.